We're good. All right. We'll call this meeting to order. Director?
Mr. Chairman, we're going to be operating off a agenda revision number one dated December 14th, 2023. This meeting is a public meeting, may be attended in person or view the meeting at the department's website under the commission cam slash. Or you may listen to it by calling 404-397-1516, access code 280-046-234#. Members of the public may view the meeting from any department regional office or the department's headquarters and via video conference. So members of the public in attendance may speak on a specific agenda item by filling out a blue card if they wish to speak to the commission. Or they could do that from the regional offices. Not all commissioners are in person, but we do have four here, and I think I should probably do a roll call just for the record for sure. Oh, there's the fifth one there. One second.
Let's do the roll call.
All right, so I'm going to be doing a roll call for commissioners. Let's start with Commissioner Buchanan.
Here.
Commissioner Buchanan is here. Mm-hmm. Commissioner Sue?
Here.
Commissioner Hernandez?
Here.
Commissioner Guggenhauer?
Present.
And Mr. Chairman?
Here.
All right, we do have a full quorum. So, Mr. Chairman, we go to item number one, which is our only item on the agenda. And item number one is amend Commission Order 4, ELK, for the 2024 seasons to reflect the following changes. One, approve additional non-permit tag seasons. Two, approve combined limited opportunity seasons. And three, amend legal open areas for select general, youth, champ, and archery seasons. Our presenter is Callie Cavalcant, Big Game Management Program Supervisor.
Ms. Callie, greetings, young lady.
Greetings.
How are you this afternoon?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
You have a few things you'd like to run by us this afternoon?
I do. For the record, my name is Callie Cavalcant, Big Game Program Supervisor for the department. This afternoon, I will be presenting the department's recommendations for amendments to Commission Order 4. Jumping right into it, the commission approved the 2024 elk seasons last Friday, December 8th. At that time, you requested that the department revisit the recommendations for over-the-counter non-permit seasons in units 3A and 4B. I think it's important when we're talking about these over-the-counter hunts to mention the elk management zones in Arizona. We have four. They are standard, winter range, flexible, and minimal occurrence. The differences between the flexible and minimal occurrence zones are minute but important. For flexible, these are areas where the presence of elk is unpredictable or recently established, and they are self-maintained at low densities. The department manages these populations to reduce or eliminate conflicts with other land uses by maintaining population densities as deemed appropriate. Minimal occurrence zones are the areas where the presence of elk is minimal and not essential to the long-term maintenance of elk populations. The department manages those populations for extremely low elk densities or in some cases eliminate populations, and they're managed to reduce conflict with other land uses as deemed appropriate. The first amendment is offering an over-the-counter hunt in Unit 3A in our Zenith hunt area. This over-the-counter hunt structure is intended to address continued depredation by elk on irrigated agricultural fields within the minimal occurrence zones in this unit. The department is recommending three seasons for this unit, March 1st through 31st for any elk, April 1st through July 31st for bull only, and the change for this compared to last week's recommendation is this September 13th through November 14th season for antlerless elk only. The second amendment is an over-the-counter hunt in Unit 4B in our dry lake hunt area. The department is recommending the same seasons for this unit as the 3A season. Again, these hunt structures are intended to address continued depredation by elk within the minimal occurrence zones of these units. There is another small adjustment for this hunt area. We are recommending expanding the legal open area south to the northern boundary of the Apache Sitgreaves National Forest. The third amendment is for limited opportunity general draw hunts. The last couple years, the department has recommended limited opportunity draw hunts in these areas of the units within the minimal occurrence zones. Our initial recommendation was to eliminate those limited opportunity hunts and replace them with the over-the-counter hunt structures. Because we are recommending a shortened over-the-counter season for that September through November time period, we are recommending combining some of those limited opportunity seasons in these areas for the December 13th through 31st time period. So what that recommended hunt looks like, it would be open for the Zenith and Dry Lake hunt areas in units 3A and 4B. The combined hunt area would be authorized for 50 permits and be legal for any elk within those areas. Amendment number 4 is to change the legal open area for unit 3C draw hunts. So as part of our original recommendation, the department recommended closing the over-the-counter hunt area within unit 3A to the draw permit tags for unit 3C hunters. The legal open area read 3C and the National Forest portions of unit 3A. The department is recommending changing the open area back to what it has historically been, units 3A and 3C. The department did include a note for these hunters that identifies that there is an over-the-counter hunt that is going on in part of their open area for this unit in Unit 3A, and they're recommended to focus on the areas of their hunt that are not open to over-the-counter hunting, which is primarily Unit 3C in the National Forest portion of 3A. It's also worth mentioning, I am going to go back one slide, the department also drafted a note for this hunt area identifying that over-the-counter hunts occurred within these portions of the units during the prior seasons of the year, and so hunt success is likely to be low to no success for these hunts. The modified open area for units 3A and 3C would affect general, youth-only, champ, and archery-only seasons for units 3A and 3C. When the commission is ready, I have a recommendation.
Do we have any?
Mr. Chairman, I do have one question. Hallie, moving the boundary back to the Apache Sitgreaves National Forest, what is that boundary look like? Can we confirm that there's good fencing there that a hunter will recognize when he's at the edge of it?
Further, Commissioner Guggenheimer's edification, the forest boundaries was marked by the Forest Service through that area with the yellow signs that say National Forest Boundary. So those are very well delineated throughout the entire boundary. So state land, private land is separated from the National Forest.
Right. So the condition of that fencing is what I was asking mm-hmm. about. It's all adequate, good. Yes. There will be no issues there.
Okay. Yes. The stakeholders have taken care of that as part of their rotational requirements for grazing cattle in their leases.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Buchanan has a question, and I hope you can hear it. If you can't, I'll try to repeat it. Go ahead, Commissioner Buchanan.
Okay, I have a question and some comments. First of all, let me check. Can you hear me?
I think we can all hear you. Yeah.
Okay, great. So the question is, and I don't know if Callie or Clay or Aaron or whoever might be available, but I'd like to know when antlers typically come off of elk and when they grow back in this particular area. There's a reason behind it, and I'll explain it in a second.
Chairman, Commissioner Buchanan, we typically see antlers begin to fall off of elk in February and towards mid-March. However, you could see, depending on the elk and the age of the elk, that time frame can vary. We see growth occur during the summer months through from when they begin falling off through the end of July and into August and September. You can see, well, September is probably a bit far on the time scale, but I guess that's a very general time frame. It widely depends on the age of the elk.
Okay, so let me just explain my concern. Actually, I have a personal reservation, and I know we do it elsewhere in the state, but I do not like the idea of potentially shooting cow elk in the month of March. And the real reason just has to do with the growth and development of the fetuses at that point in time. And I just don't think that's good on us or good, you know, I guess if we're doing everything we could to eliminate the population, maybe you could make an argument. But I can't see that that's a good thing for us. Or, you know, or the image of the Game and Fish Department. And so I would be fine if I don't know that we could differentiate between cows and bulls in the month of March. I would be fine if we made that a bull-only season, but not cow. That's my own opinion. We can talk about that, but I'd like to know about your, given what you gave as an answer, it sounds like differentiation could be tough depending on where we are in antler growth.
Are there any other concerns there, Commissioner Buchanan?
No, sir.
Okay. Sometimes animal husbandry doesn't look quite like what the general public would like. And in this world of woke, I understand and appreciate your comments. Maybe the department has something they'd like to add to that.
Chairman, Commissioner Buchanan, our objectives for these over-the-counter hunts for elk are to maintain low population densities for elk in these areas. And so it does necessitate the harvest of both bull and antlerless elk. Speaking a little bit to the season time frames, we do our best to offer season time frames that align well with other seasons that are offered throughout the state. And so we do have other over-the-counter seasons through in other areas of the state that offer these similar season dates. And so in an effort to align and maintain consistency and clarity for our hunters, that is part of the reason that we offer these types of seasons as consistently as possible.
Also, that might be added, and correct me if I'm wrong, but we do population management hunts when we have depredation issues with our stakeholders. So the department has been very, very cognizant of your concerns, Commissioner. We always mitigate that to be a minimum, and with this minimal occurrence area, that was part of the discussion, but it was not something that was just thrown on the table without the consideration of past history. And with population management hunts like we're getting ready to do already along the Gila River, these are concerns that have been brought up in the past, not only by the public, but also by the department staff and past commissioners prior to me being on the commission. And I hear what you're saying. I appreciate it. But please realize that there's been a lot of science go into where we are today. And we don't go lightly down this path. So thank you for those comments.
Mr. Buchanan, Commissioner Buchanan, another question. Go ahead, sir.
Would it still be could we have the same impact on the population if we extended the antlerless hunt for a month into December and eliminated the March season?
I'll address that. With the concerns that were brought up at the last meeting, that's been kind of negated on the table. So it doesn't, in my mind, and the way I was brought up, you see these same concerns with bovine. You see them with sheep, goats across the entire spectrum, sir. So I don't think changing what we have presently is an option. And if I'm incorrect, will somebody from the department please correct me?
Chairman, Commissioner Geiler, I think that's entirely the decision of the commission.
Mr. Chairman, so just to clarify, the month of December, from December or November 12th through December 13th, we have a limited opportunity hunt already established.
That's, Chairman, yes. Commissioner Guggenhauer, that's part of the amendment that the commission is voting on today.
Correct. Thank you.
Ty, I'm still not sure that I got my question. I have a question. What about if we extend the antlerless hunt, as recommended with, I believe, to the end of November, what if we extend that for a month? Can we have the same effect on the population and do away with the March part of the season? You know, I got a nice lecture about bovine and animal husbandry and comments about woke that I actually don't appreciate. That's not my point at all. I'm asking a direct question about whether or not we can have the same effect on the season. If we can, then I'd be completely fine with that.
Commissioner Buchanan, we're going to have Clay Crowder jump in here in just a sec.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Buchanan, the department focused these recommendations, and Callie's been able to address most of this. I just want to provide a perspective. The department's been able to, part of our concern and focus of this through this time period is we're considering this a minimal occurrence area. As we know, sometimes in this part of the state, we get snowfall. Elk could occasionally move out into this portion of the unit. And so the focus, if, you know, let's say there's 3 feet of snow or something, the elk in that instance would move into those areas, and that would be what we would consider our core elk population, not necessarily what would be the minimal. With that, as part of what was offered through the limited opportunity hunt, which starts December 15th through the end of the month, and then again during that period, just so that if there were elk moving from, let's say, 3C into this portion of 3A or 4B, it wouldn't be susceptible to the same over-the-counter pressure as part of that management strategy during that time of year.
Did that take care of the question, sir?
I think I understood it. So it really depends on weather, and then this is another thing. We need to get the elk out of there in March because of their impact on early growth crops. I'm trying to understand what the driver is for March here.
Chairman, Commissioner Buchanan, I can't speak exactly to when the landowners in this area are planting their summer crops. However, that March does not seem so far out of the summertime period. However, it's Supervisor Hartzell online. Could he potentially address that question?
Aaron, are you available?
Yeah, can you hear me?
We can.
Okay. So we had settled on March. Some of that, Commissioner Buchanan, for that purpose, in some of these areas, winter wheat fields are going in and things like that. So there is some earlier season agriculture that we've been trying to address through that. And then the other piece of it was just to impact that portion of the population, you know, prior to summer. Typically, we have tried to keep these away from, you know, the birthing time, which is typically around end of May, and so the further off. And so That's just kind of where the department has settled over, at least my career, on, you know, on antlerless, and as close as we wanted to get to where the development of calves is, you know, obviously grows quite a bit faster towards that last portion of that. So just trying to stay away from that. And so we've done that. But for this particular area, I would say I would agree that, you know, with the winter wheat and some of the other agriculture, there is some concerns there in March.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Aaron.
Do you have anything to add? No. I'll take a recommendation.
Let's have your recommendation, Miss Kelly.
Okay. The commission is acting on Commission Order 4 provided to you via email labeled as certification copy. The department recommends that the commission vote to amend Commission Order 4 elk for the 2024 seasons as presented.
Hearing, so moved.
Hearing a motion by Ms. Sue. Do I have a second?
I'll second it.
I hear a second by Commissioner Hernandez.
I will do a roll call when you're ready.
Let's do the roll call.
Okay. Roll call. Start with Commissioner Guggenhauer.
I vote yes.
Commissioner Buchanan.
Yes.
Commissioner Sue.
Yes.
Commissioner Hernandez.
Yes.
And Mr. Chairman.
Yes. Motion carries 5-0. Thank you, Callie.
Chairman, members of the commission, thank you for your time. Have a wonderful weekend.
Mr. Chairman, if I could just add, Callie, Josh, the whole team, thank you. Thank you. The spreadsheet that we requested to be able to see the history here was all very helpful. Thank you for the 8 p.m. phone call to explain it to me. Great job by all. Thank you.
Any other commissioners have comments at all at this point?
I would just reiterate what Chairman Guggenhauer said.
We're still calling him Chairman. That's great. I'm doing it too.
Oh, geez.
I would say thank you to all the staff.
No, I take it back. I take it back.
No, you don't. Too late. I'd like to thank everybody. I know that it has been a hard lift to get to this point, but I would like to thank the regional staff, Supervisor Hartzell, for his hard work, him driving down and meeting with you, Mr. Crowder, and making sure that we got to this point today. It was a team left by the department, and the commission appreciates all the hard work. So thank you all. With that, sir,
I think we can adjourn.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Hearing a motion.
Second.
I have a second by Sue. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. 5-0.
Got an eye here.
Thank you.